Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview. Today, here with us, we have Chuck Lyons from... Hey, what's up? From USA Summer Camp. How's it going, man?
It's going great. How are you guys?
Well, we can't complain, actually, over at the old JusticeGeeks.com. So, Chuck, you're on the show. You have an interesting background that I think our listeners would be very interested in. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what the term Manny means to you.
Sure. Well, I have an interesting history. I'm an Eagle Scout. So I grew up going to summer camp every year, and I thought that this show would be a great way to use some of those summer camp skills that I developed. And after a while, I moved to California, and now that I live out here, I got involved with a summer camp out here, teaching as a counselor. And through that camp, it's a camp for young actors, so occasionally they have campers that want to move out to L.A. and kind of get a feel for what it's like living out here. So they set up a program where kids can come and live in L.A., basically, and they'll set up their apartments and their housing and everything for them. So I started nannying for this camp for these, like, three-month periods for kids from out of the country, from all over the country. You never really know. So I've got a girl coming here at the beginning of next month from New Zealand that I'm going to nanny for 3 months. So that it's kind of a neat experience.
That's interesting. So just, you know, tell us a little bit about the show.
All right. Well, summer camp is, it's the idea is 16 campers return to summer camp as adults, and we get to see kind of a different side of summer camp because it's co-ed, there's girls and guys, there's some alcohol, there's challenges every week instead of just at the end of the summer, so it gets really competitive, and there may be some interesting relationships.
All right.
It's tough to kind of watch.
You're an Eagle Scout. Did your training as an Eagle Scout have any bearing, or, you know, on this experience for you? Did it help you out at all?
Absolutely, it did. I'll tell you, when I first got there, I was pretty nervous. I saw the rest of the guys that were headed up to the camp, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my goodness, these guys could snap me like a twig." But once it actually came down to game time, we started out with a canoeing challenge that's already aired, so I can talk about this. But I was the only one in our group that had done any canoeing before. So I kind of came to the group's rescue, which was kind of great.
Yeah.
I got a chance right off the bat to show myself off as an asset.
Well, I mean, you basically won the challenge for them. Because of your previous skill, that's pretty
yep.
cool. So you know, shows like this, they typically have, you know, what you would consider stereotypes, the nerdy or geek stereotype, and it seems like you and Melinda have kind of been lumped into this stereotype, but.
Uh-huh.
You, as of right now, you're the favorite to win. So you're welcome. I mean, do you think that the nerd or geek stereotype in situations like this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I mean, it is a stereotype. I think all stereotypes are limiting. The important thing to remember is that there's more to people than just what they're interested in or what their broad categorization can say about them. And yeah, I'm a nerd. I love science fiction. I love Star Wars, Doctor Who. I speak Elvish, you know, but I've got a bunch of really kind of eclectic skill sets. I do Russian acrobatics. I'm an Eagle Scout. I mean, if it's weird, I probably do it. But so I think most everyone out there has hidden talents that don't show on the surface necessarily. So it's important not to underestimate people and limit them to just what their stereotype is.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood growing up? Did you read comics? Did you play video games?
I love video games, especially Star Wars video games. I was a big PC gamer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I played all the Star Wars Dark Forces games and Knights of the Old Republic and all of that stuff. Loved it. I was not a big comic book geek until recently. But I read all of the Star Wars novels as they came out. I've got, like, oh man, probably almost 200 Star Wars novels on my bookshelf right now, all of which I've read. So I was really, really into Star Wars for the longest time. I started getting into costume building and prop replicas in high school. My grandpa and I built a lightsaber from scratch that I'm pretty proud of. In fact, I've got it with me on the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you get a good look at it, it's only in a couple of scenes so far, but if you're looking around while we're in our rooms, it's on my shelf.
So, Star Wars, why not Star Trek?
Why not Star Trek? You know, I think it's probably just because I saw Star Wars first.
Ah, that's a good answer.
I didn't know anyone that was a big Star Trek fan growing up. But I've met some now. And in fact, especially after the new movies, there's just no denying that Star Trek is awesome. So I've been going back with my roommate, who's a huge Trekkie, and watching the original series right now. So I'm about two seasons in, almost done.
A Star Wars geek and a Star Trek geek living together. I did not think that was possible.
No, he's a great guy. In fact, he and I are working on a web series together. It's called Chuck and Joe, and it's just short little snippets of comedy sketches. The first episode will come out on August 3rd.
Oh, wow.
We've got a promotional video up on YouTube now. So search Chuck and Joe promo, and that should pop up. It's kind of funny. I think everybody should enjoy it.
Sweet. Yeah, we'll definitely feature that on the website when we run the interview, for sure. That's really cool. So what's your favorite Star Wars video game?
Oh, man. Wow. I loved Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, but Knights of the Old Republic, the original one,
mm-hmm.
has such a good story. And it's only 10 years old. I can't believe it.
And it makes you feel old when you think about that.
I know, right? Makes me feel ancient. But I've been playing the Old Republic MMO online, so that's kind of fun.
Cool. What do you think about J.J. Abrams being handed over Star Wars from Disney? Let me ask you this. What do you think about Disney buying Star Wars, number one? And to follow up, what do you think about J.J. Abrams
being
given the reins?
Yeah, you know, when I first heard that Disney bought it, I had called my dad. And I was kind of freaking out a little bit. Dad, they just sold my childhood. And
they're going to, right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, he calmed me down a bit and was like, you realize you could potentially be in it now. And I was like, ooh, that's an upside. So, I don't know. I don't know what to think. I think at this point we just kind of have to wait and see what happens. Because it can't get a whole lot worse than some of the prequel stuff, right?
Correct. It cannot get worse than episode one.
It really can't.
I
mean, Into Darkness, the newest Star Trek movie, was awesome. I loved Benedict Cumberbatch. I think as long as J.J. Abrams can maintain a difference between the Star Trek movies style and the Star Wars universe that's already kind of established, I think as long as he can stay within that galaxy, then whatever story he tells is probably going to be good. So I'm excited, but I'm a little nervous just because of all of the books. I love the books and novels and Star Wars comics so much that it'd be a real shame if they threw all of that expanded universe stuff out the window completely.
Oh, they're going to.
I'm cool. Yeah, I'm sure. I know. I'm cool. I would be cool if it was if it wasn't the focus. But it needs to still be able to exist. You've spent all of this time setting it up, and now it's just out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
What can our listeners expect from the rest of the season of Summer Camp? What can you tell us, and what can they expect from the rest of Summer Camp, and why should they watch the show?
Well, if you haven't been watching the show already, you definitely should. It's already been getting interesting, especially because I've been sort of the underdog character for the first couple episodes, and I've really come out on top. Going forward, you're going to see a lot more drama as more and more people are eliminated. Somebody's eliminated every week, and nobody wants to see anybody go home. But as you know, the rules of the game dictates, somebody does have to go home.
Right
up until the end. So it's going to get interesting to see who takes it personally and who understands that, you know, that's part of life. And who's backstabbing who, whether any secret deals might be made, or truthfully, just what the challenges are, because some of them are pretty fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. And, you know, we look forward to seeing how Summer Camp turns out for you, Chuck.
No problem. I'm glad we got to talk.
Fantastic. Thanks. You are Melinda, and you are on Summer Camp on USA. Say hi.
I am. It's very exciting.
It is. Oh, it's very exciting. Fantastic. I hear some interesting information about you, that you're building a little something that has me very, very intrigued. It's.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's.
I'm building a lot of things.
Well,
what is this that you're intrigued with?
It's red and gold, and this guy gets inside it, and he becomes Iron Man, and all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Iron Man. Well, I mean, I've helped build a couple of sets now. Right now, predominantly what I'm doing is I'm helping a friend of mine. For anybody who's seen the new Iron Man 3 movie, there's at one point one of the characters takes on just the arm. I don't want to give away too many spoilers for people who haven't seen it. But one of the characters takes just the arm, a female character. And so I've been helping a lot of my lady friends build the arms, so that way they can go to Comic-Con dressed as that character, or to various other conventions. But yeah, no, I'm huge in the cosplay community, and so over the years I've kind of developed this incredibly strange skill set.
That's good.
Building these kind of pieces, it's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, I had a few months ago. Well, it was right around the time that Iron Man 3 came out. In our little group of guys that do the show with us, we get asked all the time, if you were a superhero, which one would be who, and da 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 da. And so it always is determined that I would be Tony Stark, because
nice.
Not necessarily Iron Man, but Tony Stark, because I tend to be the kind of brash and gruff one of us. But that's fine. We'll talk about that later. And so you know, naturally, it was. I thought, well, you know what. I think I could do that. I think I kind of researched it a little bit online and thought, man, I think I'm going to build me an Iron Man suit. And we had talked to Tom Johnson, who was a contestant on the Big Brain Theory Cal Penn show on Discovery Channel, who actually ended up coming in second place. And he's a, you know, like a tool and die mechanical guy. And he's like, "Oh yeah, sure. Let's get you some blueprints together and get you some stuff working towards your suit." And so kind of, I haven't really followed through with as much as I should with that, but I've got some plans to build an amazing Iron Man suit, you know, because you go to all these conventions and you never see one. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen one in real life, you know, that someone had done. I've seen pictures of one that a guy did at Wizard World in St. Louis, Missouri, that I think he actually ended up winning the whole thing, their costume contest, because it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Well, I definitely, I know a couple of people who that's all they do is the Iron Man suits, War Machine, all the different Mark suits. And so, you know, yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, cosplay is just a blast in general. You feel like a Disney character just walking around and never, yeah.
How'd you,
you'll love it when you build it.
How'd you get into cosplay?
Oh, my goodness. How did I get into cosplay? I love comic books. I always have. You know, growing up, I would, you know, be the kid in the corner, the only girl in the corner reading my comic books. And as a result of that, you know, I started going to conventions at a pretty young age, and I saw that some people were dressed, and I was like, oh, that looks like so much fun. And so my first costume that I ever was a Wonder Girl from the Jeff Johns Teen Titans run, so Kathy, and that was just jeans and a t-shirt and some tinfoil.
Nice.
Now, you know, after that, I fell in love with it. I loved being able to become these characters, even if it's just for a day, you know, that I love and respect so much. And so, for a while, my favorite character is Barbara Gordon, is Batgirl. And so now, you know, here in my adult years, I've got like 6 bat suits sitting in my closet right now. And I actually, somehow along the lines, I got known as the Death Batgirl. That's what I guess what they started calling me at conventions and stuff, and so that kind of caught on. And so, you know, from there it kind of went to a different level where suddenly it was, oh, you can say Denver Batgirl and go to the cons and stuff. And so, I don't know, it started as a hobby, and now it's kind of more of a lifestyle, I suppose. But it's great.
That's not bad.
It's cool. I get to dress up like a bat on the weekends. That's pretty cool.
Conventions are so fun. You know, because you meet so many interesting people at conventions, and you know, people get to do what they love, and it's really just a fun time.
I agree. It's a blast. I just came back from San Diego Comic Con this weekend, and that is always, it's always a treat to get to go to that one in Dragon Con, and just, I have so much fun. It's so wonderful.
Are you going to get to go to Dragon Con this year?
I am trying to, you know, schedule with the show being out and stuff like that. I've been making arrangements. We're going to see how it works out. I'm hoping to premiere a new bat suit this year. So that hopefully is going to come out of Dragon Con.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we're going to actually try to go to Dragon Con too. So we'll be there. Yeah, I know. I love conventions. If you like to people watch, they're great. And people put so much into their cosplay. We kind of became friends with a guy at a convention that, like, he sinks every bit of his paycheck into his Batman suit, and holy flipping cow, is it good. Like, it is. The first time we met him, like, we saw him, he drove up in a parking lot, and he was in his truck, had a big bat on the back of it, and got out and was in the full suit. And Poison Ivy got out on the other side with his cape and put his cape on him, and was just like, man, this guy means business. And it was incredibly well done. And, you know, he does it a lot for him, but, you know, in the Nashville, Tennessee area, he does a lot for kids and for other people.
Yep.
And that's, I think that's what a lot of it is about for a lot of folks.
As I've entered my adult years, despite wearing a bat costume on alternating weekends, you know, charity work is becoming huge in the cosplay community, and I could not be happier. I've done a lot of work as Batgirl. I've gone around, I've done hospital work where I've gone and I've read bedtime stories to kids with leukemia. I call it bedtime with Batgirl. You know, just kids who can't get out and go see people, and to see superheroes show up. These people who they look up to, they get so excited. I've done work with them. I've done work with the Aurora Rise Foundation to help raise money to support the victims of the Aurora shooting. I've helped out as that girl for a lot of their charity auctions and stuff like that. There's so many ways to wear the suit. And as a result of that, it helps you, A, become that much closer to the hero that you want to be on the comic book page and in real life. You know, it's incredibly satisfying, and it's really, really meaningful for the people who you're helping as well. It just warms my soul.
Well, I think we are obliged to talk about the show, so let's talk a little bit about summer camp. Tell me about your experience. That thing you were on the TV and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We asked Chuck how he, you know, approached the show and how he viewed the show, so I'm interested to get your take on it as well.
My take on the show? Well, you know, it's crazy. It was interesting being the geek going into these kind of situations, because the minute that you normally hear reality TV, you're like, oh, no, it's going to be a bunch of, like, super pretty people arguing, like, all the time. It's going to be crazy. And, you know, as we've been seeing with the show, there's been a little bit of that. But to be brought on as one of the geeks on the show, it was a very interesting experience, just for the sheer fact of, you know, when I went to summer camp as a kid, you know, I was a geek then, and I am a geek now. I'm a little more proud of myself to become now. But, you know, when you're a kid, you're so self-conscious, and you know, being in high school all the time, you know, getting picked on and all that jazz. And then you can go to summer camp, and it's that question of, well, do I reinvent myself into someone cooler, or do I just be myself? And, you know, when I was at camp as a kid, you know, I got picked on all the time, girls, guys, you name it. And so getting to go back now as an adult, where, you know, you've got a little more self-confidence behind you, it was really, really interesting. You know, it was cool to kind of get to be thrown in automatically with, you know, the popular crowd, so to speak. And to not only be living with them and dealing with them on a social level, but to be competing with and against them. That was definitely a new and different experience that I didn't quite get the first time around when I went to summer camp.
Right. Not a whole lot of folks did from my experience. My summer camps consisted of, like, Jesus-y type things when I had to go.
I went to a Jesus camp too. Yeah. Oh, man.
Ours crazy. Was on the beach, though, so I didn't really care.
Oh, fun. I was in the woods.
Oh, well, yeah. Jesus in the woods.
Yeah, praying on top of rocks, and it was weird, and I don't know.
Kumbaya. Just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So, what do you think about the stereotype of being a geek? You think that's a... I almost want to say that, and I've had several people through conversation with social media tell us, well, you know, geek is cool now, geek is chic, and all this other stuff. I think that's kind of counterintuitive to being a quote-unquote geek, but I would almost say that it is more popular now than it was 10, 15 years ago, certainly when we were kids. What do you think about that stereotype?
Well, the stereotype is actually something that I still deal with on a daily basis, just for the sheer fact that being a geek is considered cool now. And I think the people who consider it to be cool are the people who are just starting to get into the culture. I, you know, a lot of people like to make fun of, you know, like, oh, when they see, you know, the frat-looking guy walking down the street in the Batman hat, who knows, maybe the Chris Nolan movies helped him, you know, start picking up comic books again. I never really like to judge in that kind of category, but at the same time, there's definitely still a differentiation. I know that definitely when I got to camp, even though kind of geek is cool right now, you know, if I were to make Star Wars and Game of Thrones references and all that kind of stuff, I got a lot of, oh, oh yeah, okay, and just right over their heads. And on top of that, I know that the geek stereotype, I guess, I don't want to say I'm coming at it from a different angle, but in a way I kind of am, especially here in the wake of the fake geek girl kind of discussions that have been going around on the internet and in media and stuff like that, this idea that girls who are now getting into comic books aren't real nerds. The girls who are cosplayers aren't real nerds. These are just hot girls who picked up a comic book, didn't really read it, just looked at the pictures, and then said, oh, I want to dress up like this, or, oh, no, I totally love Batman.
Both of those things you said are right. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, we do not doubt your attractiveness, but you're only doing this for, you know, like two reasons. And it's not because you love Batman. You know, I mean, you do it because you love Batman, but some of the people we've run across at conventions, they don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, who knows? I always try to, I never know. I always like to say this, and I know it always gets a few fists being shaken my way. I don't like the Twilight books. I do not like the Twilight movies. But I respect the kids who dress up as the Twilight characters at con. They put a lot of time and effort into that. And today's 12-year-old Twilight reader might be tomorrow's True Blood writer.
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't really. Maybe.
Maybe.
How we all kind of get our start.
I mean, I can dunk my face.
Try not to judge.
I can dunk my face in a bucket of glitter, but that doesn't make me a cosplayer. You know, I mean,
very true, but, you know, but we all start somewhere. Again, my first costume, I had people coming up to me in my tinfoil and in my jeans with my little rope that I had spray painted. You know, that whole costume maybe cost me $15 to make after I pulled some stuff out of my closet. And I had people coming up to me and saying, "You look great. That's wonderful." Was I the most intense costume there? Absolutely not. But at the same time, I like to encourage people to love what they love. It was actually, they kind of getting back to summer camp with the stereotypes and stuff. One thing that I absolutely loved was when Justin the Hunter, when all of us were lined up in the first episode and we were meeting the guys, and Justin the Hunter came out in full camo with that big old elk horn, and I thought afterwards, I was like, you know what? That's a cool guy. I'm not into the same things that he's into, but he's so excited. He's the ultimate hunting fanboy. And who am I to judge that? I'm excited that he's as excited about what he does as, you know, and I get excited about what I do.
Right.
And so you never really know where people are coming from with all of that. I think the stereotype is definitely still there. And I think, unfortunately, you know, it's even kind of within our community now, which really bums me out. But I'm hoping that, you know, with shows like Summer Camp, where you see us kind of all interacting together, you know, again, yes, it's a reality show, but at the same time, you know, this is a situation that I want to say we haven't seen in reality television before. When we've seen shows that predominantly deal with either all geeks competing against each other, or, you know, shows where it's all these beautiful, stunning, you know, popular athletic kids just dealing with each other. Granted, I don't watch reality television, but I think that this is the first one where we're actually getting to see these two stereotyped groups interact. And I'm hoping that it will show that some of these stereotypes are being broken down, because look at someone like Chuck, who just in the first two episodes has blown these, you know, incredibly, you know, buff physical guys out of the water. And that's awesome. I'm hoping that, again, some of these stereotypes will start to be alleviated, but who knows? You guys
will
have to watch.
Right. Oh, we'll have to watch. You know, like our whole idea when we first started doing this show, you know, almost a year and a half ago, was that, you know, everybody geeks out about something, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, comic books or superheroes or video games or Magic the Gathering or Transformers or NASCAR or basketball. Everybody geeks out about something, and we should celebrate that. And, you know, that's awesome, because the joy that you experience from doing, you know, from, you know, building your cosplay outfit from start to finish, wearing it to a convention, could be the exact same joy that, you know, I have preparing food in my kitchen for my friends, or, you know, playing a video game. I mean, everybody geeks out about something. And I think it's important that we, you know, say, hey, that's awesome. We celebrate you for that, and keep doing it no matter what it is. And that's kind of, you know, like our say, I say it every single week. We are your daily dose of everything geek. And there's this huge long list of things that we talk about. But, you know, we have tried to, you know, be, hey, if you like Magic the Gathering and you like comic books, well, you know, if you listen to us, you'll hear about that. And maybe you'll get into Transformers, or maybe you get into this TV show. You know, the geek community is alive and well thanks to the internet, and now we should
thank God for the internet.
I know, right? Well, it's really odd, because two of the guys on our show, three of us are from we have the same hometown, and two of the other guys from our hometown, didn't go to the same school. They liked the exact same thing. They played the exact same video games. They read the exact same comic books and had no idea who they were. And they've said to each other a million times, "Oh, why weren't we friends?" Well, you didn't have the internet. The internet didn't exist. If you had the internet, then you would have known each other. And one of those guys and another guy were youth ministers and both loved Transformers. And they found each other on a Transformers board and were like, "Wait a minute. I think you're really close to me. Oh my gosh. We're like 10 miles apart. We should be friends." And, you know, the internet is great. Yay for geekdom. Geekdom is a good thing.
Geekdom is great. And you know, and that's definitely, definitely true. One of my favorite things of being in the geek community is that there's always something new that you can be learning from someone else. You know, I started off as a huge comic book nerd. One of my best friends in the whole world, when she and I first started hanging out, she introduced me to Doctor Who. And before I knew what had happened, I plowed through all of it and, like, a month of my life was gone and I didn't know what happened. And, you know, and then from there it was, you know, some of my guy friends played computer games and that got me into video games. And so now I've been a huge FPS girl on the Xbox, and, you know, that's kind of my little vice. And, you know, little things that kind of, you know, go all across the board. You know, about 2 years ago was the first time I actually ever played Dungeons and Dragons, and it was awesome because it's something that I could do with my friends that one of them just kind of introduced our friend group to. You can pick up all these weird little, you know, kind of skills and things to do, and what makes it so lovely is that when we are at our best, the geek community is people who want to share their enthusiasm, not necessarily force it on you, but they want to share this love that they have. All these things that ultimately bring people together. You can read a comic book and you can discuss it with, you know, three of your friends the next day, and then, oh, you haven't read it? Well, here, borrow my copy. And, you know, even gaming. Gaming is a huge example. I used to be on World of Warcraft all the time. And, you know, that was a great way for me to meet people and for me to get a chance to stay in touch with my friends. Especially for colleges, we all kind of started to go our separate ways. We could still log in once a week and all raid together, and it felt like we were all still hanging out. It's a great way to stay connected. It's a great way to stay enthusiastic. It's a great way to meet people in all facets. And, again, learning all this new stuff within the community is absolutely wonderful. So what you guys are doing is awesome. Yay!
Yeah, that's right. It is. So I have to get your opinion on the announcement at Comic-Con, since you were there, about Superman 2, or Man of Steel 2 featuring Batman.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I have mixed feelings on this because I don't know how much I'm allowed to say for people who haven't seen Man of Steel. I enjoyed Man of Steel to the end.
Yes.
All I'm really going to say.
We already spoiled it. We were so angry that we were like, "Listen, oh my God, we have to just talk about this right now.
And I understand the complaints that, you know, most people, Superman doesn't kill. Well, my Batman doesn't retire. And so, putting all of these universes together. But to be completely honest, I love Henry Cavill as Superman. I really, really, really enjoyed his performance. I thought the writing was not necessarily in his favor. But, you know, it's not his fault. He tried really hard.
Yeah.
He tried really, really hard.
He was better than Brandon Roth.
That poor kid as well. And boy, was cast in a movie 20 years too young for what they wrote him.
That's right.
Anyway, I can go on and on, but I won't. I mean, obviously a huge Batman, absolutely ginormous Batman fan, and one of my favorite interactions in, you know, the animated series, in Justice League Unlimited, and you know, the regular one that they did, and in the comic books, I've always loved the interactions that Batman had with Clark, and immediately walking out of Man of Steel, and, you know, and it was sort of teasing the idea of Justice League movie, I you know, looked to my friend who I had seen it with, and I was like, "I want to see Bruce with him, a new one. That's all I want. I just want to see, you know, Clark. Clark, I hate you, Clark. We don't do this stuff. We don't go around killing people. That's all I want to see." And so with the announcement of a Batman and Superman movie, I have a lot of faith that this will be a good stepping stone while they get their get themselves together for Justice League, because obviously the big white elephant in the room is constantly Wonder Woman, and I'm a huge Wonder Woman fan as well. huge. And it's hard to be a Wonder Woman fan because, you know, the whole plane and Steve Trevor and like six costume changes and six reboots and killing Maxwell Lord. I just, anyway, it's hard to be a Wonder Woman fan. And so I'd much rather them take their time with the Justice League movie and kind of wait to get all their ducks in a row and do, you know, a buddy piece where they're going to have to deal with the whole Zod situation, because that in its own right can be its own movie.
Right.
And I also really, really, really want to see Henry Cavill have to carry Superman like, or excuse me, Henry Cavill have to carry Batman like a baby. Because let's face it, that happens in like every team up ever.
Yeah.
Bruce has that moment of I can't fly, and Clark's like, no, no, this will be great. I can totally pick you up. And he's just sitting there angry. So I want to see that. I want to see that on the big screen. I will pay my $12 just to see an angry Batman sitting there with his arms crossed.
So the
Clark carries him to the set.
The $1 million question then is, who is Batman?
Who is better for the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. That is the $1 million question. To be completely honest, I mean, I love all of the Batman films for different reasons, you know, even the Schumacher one, which one of everyone's sitting here crossing themselves saying, oh dear. But you know, each one of them has different, you know, good things and bad things. And I personally believe that there's never been an actor who has played and a successful Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Nope.
You've got, you know, Michael Keaton with a great Batman, not so good Bruce Wayne. You know, you've got even Christian Bale, great Bruce Wayne.
Horrible Batman.
He's a horrible Batman. He's a skeeful thing. And when Bane shows up, he's like, I'm going to break you. And you're like, yeah, you probably will. But he's a terrible Batman. And so to find somebody who can embody both is going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult. And honestly, I can't think of an actor off the top of my head who can do it. I trust that if the same people who went into the casting of Superman are going to be involved, I trust we're going to come out with something good. But I don't know. I'll be very curious to see who they come up with. I'm just hoping that they involve some of the Bat family in this one. That's something that I've sorely missed. Is, I guess, a little bit with Dark Knight Rises, we kind of got the tease of what could have possibly been Robin Nightwing, but Chris Nolan hates the Bat family, so we'll never know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's over.
I'd really love to see some Oracle in there. I'd really love to see one of the Robins, because, again, I personally would love to see it, because as much as I'd love to see Clark, I hate you, we don't, you know, kill people, that's not what we do. I'd also love to see, you know, Superman showing up being like, I'm sorry, why do you have, like, an orphanage in your house right now?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't seem...
What are you doing with all these small boys, Bruce? You need to stop.
Exactly. All these small boys, a couple of girls, and then it just gets weird, and then you've got this old guy who's taking care of all of you, and this doesn't seem healthy for anyone.
No.
But I'm also hoping that the tease of the Batman-Superman movie, what that means is that for the Justice League movie, they're going to be taking the top of either Lex Luthor ascending presidency and doing that storyline, and kind of in conjunction with what they did with Injustice, the video game. I'm hoping that they're going to do some stuff with the Justice Lords, something with a parallel universe Superman, because some of my favorite Superman storylines are the ones where he goes off the deep end and they have to deal with it.
Well, and he did in like the last issue of Injustice. He killed, what's his face?
Great.
Yeah.
He killed the Joker.
Yeah. So,
that was horrible. That whole thing, I was just sitting there reading it and I was like, wow, they're really going balls to the wall in this one. This is dark.
And
this escalated quickly.
Honestly, I guess it was just a big setup to Man of Steel that nobody really saw coming. But yeah, I mean, for Man of Steel was not a Superman movie. It was about Clark Kent having superpowers that he hadn't quite figured it out yet, and realizing that he's not really Clark Kent. He's a god. You know, like I really hope that they can find the right balance for Henry Cavill, 'cause I think he was great. He's definitely the best Superman we've seen in a long time. So,
oh my goodness,
and a lot of we get asked that a lot too. Who do you think should be the best Batman? And I think our consensus answer, I don't think we have actually had a consensus answer, but I think one answer that I know we came up with was Michael Fassbender, because several people have said Fassbender would be great Batman.
Oh.
Not so much for me, but maybe.
I don't know how I feel about about two British guys playing Americans. I was trying to Henry Cavill's life because he's a World of Warcraft geek, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean Michael Fassbender obviously does incredible work. Huh. Yeah, I can see. I was just like, the key to trying to find the right Batman is if you look at a picture of Spectre and you just put your hand over the top half of their face, because most of the time you're just going to be seeing the jaw anyway.
That's right.
So if he passes the hand test, then we can go from there. Yeah, that would be real. I mean, I'm also a little biased because I see so many great costumers who, granted, are not actors. You know, I'm not going to pretend that, you know, just because you look really great as a character, that means you're going to, you know, do a really great job as that character, you know, if you were to be cast in a movie. But I know so many great Batmen out there. And so whenever I think about who would I want to be, you know, Batman, I would want so-and-so, you know, my buddy. That would be really cool. But of course, you know, none of that would ever happen. But, oh gosh, see, now I have to think more and more on this, because I was just so excited at the announcement of it and the possibilities that could come forth as a result. Again, in the idea of a Justice League movie. I've been wanting a Justice League movie since I was a kid, and I realized that it's big and it's expensive, and, you know, who the heck knows how you can combine all that. And then with the announcement, with the possibility of it, it was, are they going to do New 52, or are they going to do the old one? Are we going to see, you know, the Hawks? Are we going to see Martian Manhunter? Like, which team are they going to do? And just, my mind is a flutter with, you know, so many possibilities of what could happen out of this. And I'm just excited. I can't wait to see more stuff pouring out about it.
All right, well, we won't keep you too much longer. Thank you so much for your time and for talking about Batman and all the fun stuff. It's always fun. Oh, yeah, I know, right?
Excellent.
Thanks.
This has been a Just Us Geeks interview. Make sure you keep checking out JustUsGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek, from tech to Transformers, TV, music, video games, and more.